The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And so Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. He went to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were shepherds in that region living in the fields, keeping night watch over their flocks. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were struck with great fear. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Let me claim these few moments to offer a Christmas thought. We're reading from Luke's gospel here about Luke's remembrance of the birth of Christ. And there are one or two important points which frame the moment which we should really impress. One is the angels appear. A divine revelation about the birth of Christ, and the revelation is given to the humble shepherds. Not the rich and the famous, not the powerful, not the intellectual, the pejorative shepherds are the ones to receive the good news of the birth of Christ. Eckhart Tolle, in his best-selling book, The Power of Now, offers this observation. He says, the ego does not want to live in the present. The ego is worried about the past because the past has defined who the ego is. The ego tends to cling to the past. The ego is afraid of the future. And therefore, the ego, the person who is egotistic, overlooks the grace of the present moment. So let me reflect with you for a few moments on the teaching about the grace of the present moment. At midnight, when we celebrate the birth of Christ, and the grace which we receive at midnight, we will carry into the celebration of the birth of Christ tomorrow. About 500 years before Christ, there was born in present-day Nepal a prince named Siddhartha Gautama. Much is written about Gautama. how much of it is historically accurate and how much is sacred tradition is a matter of dispute and discussion. However, the story of the prince Siddhartha Gautama is very instructive. He was born into royalty. He was born into the riches of the world. But in due time, when he was still young, he began to find a conflict in his life, how to understand pain, suffering, how to understand humanity, not the privilege, not the separation, not the elite, but how to understand the common folks who have to struggle with the struggles and the pains and reverses of life. And so, the short version of the story, he leaves the palace and he goes in search of the meaning of life. And after an extensive search and discovery, he comes to a place called near Varanasi. There's a field there, the Bodhi tree, and there he has enlightenment. It's a place called Saranath. He preaches his first sermon at Saranath. He has enlightenment, and he becomes the Buddha. And after he has this enlightenment, people are confused. And it is said in the story of the Buddha that on one occasion he is walking along and he comes upon a stranger, and the stranger is very impressed and overwhelmed by the radiant disposition of the Buddha. So he asks him, "Are you a god? Are you angelic? What are you?" Not who are you, what are you? He said, "I'm not a god. I am not angelic." "Are you a saint?" He said, "No." "Then what are you?" And he said, "I am awake." Enlightenment, to be awake, to feel, to touch, to connect. That's enlightenment. And translate that into our spiritual tradition, it's the grace of the present moment, to capture the grace of this moment, not tomorrow or not yesterday, but now, in a time of pandemic, in a time when there is great loneliness, there's a great uncertainty. It's a time of suffering for many, many people. So how do we capture and somehow be enriched and enlightened by the grace of the present moment? How are we awake? Awake to the suffering which surrounds us. Awake to the generosity which is asked of us. Awake to listening to those who are around us. Awake to our gratitude for the many ways in which we are blessed. How do we, in God's presence, say we are awake? We're connected. We can feel or think. That thought crossed me, especially at midnight, because when it's dark, it becomes a pensive time. It's a time when we think more. It's a time when regrets come back to haunt us, when the unhealed wounds reappear. It's a time of aloneness for many people. It's a reflective, pensive time. Midnight, there's something about midnight that has its own grace and its own revelation. I'm wondering about that. As we gather to pray here at midnight mass. So I'm wondering, this poetic insight is offered to us for reflection. The story is told about the man. And he whispered, "God, speak to me." And a meadowlark sang, but the man did not hear. So the man yelled, "God, speak to me," and thunder rolled across the sky, but the man did not listen. The man looked around and said, "God, let me see you." And a star shone brightly, but he did not notice it. The man shouted, "God, show me a miracle." And a life was born, but the man was unaware. So the man cried out in despair, "Touch me, God. Let me know that you are here." Whereupon God reached down and touched the man. But the man brushed the butterfly away and he walked on alone. What is it? In this time of prayer, we may celebrate the birth of Christ. What is it that we do not hear? What is it that we don't see? What, perhaps, is it we don't feel, sense? Perhaps in our families. What is it in our church that we don't see, we don't hear, and we don't feel? What struggle, what pain, what misunderstanding is there? And in that moment, God speaks to us, and we do not hear, we do not see, and we do not feel. Make these days holy by the manner in which we sense and feel and see the visitation, God being born within us to lift us up in a new way to listen, to see, and to feel in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus, whom we celebrate on this holy night. Amen. It has been our tradition for many years, with a great assembly and a sign of hospitality and welcome, that we will gather as a people and sing Silent Night. We'll hold that tradition now, and in a virtual way, gather each and every one of you in voice or in your heart to sing with us Silent Night. Christmas.